We'll start. Not that this looks overly. Hey, Ann, do I sign the minutes or does Alma?
You would sign them because you're the one presiding over the approval.
Okay. Did she sign them last time? Good enough. Don't want to give her too much. Take more away. How much she's picking you up?
Two.
That's pretty
Yeah,
good.
wasn't
This is way
eat
better
yesterday,
to be here than
but we ate a
online.
half of a cheesecake.
Found
So
not
is it
fun.
got the
Costco cheese
Yeah.
things? Those are big.
Yeah.
My trip to Chicago was terrible.
Yeah, way
Terrible
more
for
people there
investment.
than I thought.
Well, for timing wise,
I know.
right?
Yeah.
Oh, the weather. Terrible.
Way more people.
That was
We just
my
figured you'd come
nine
out
or my
and
seven
you
hour
just show
flight
up
turned
and you go
into
right
a
into adults. So it worked out.
14 hour flight. It
Was fun. Fun to see
never
snows.
got to leave the plane. It was
It was good. It
horrible.
was really good.
We ran out
Were
of
they happy with
gas
that? I mean, I'm
first
assuming they will be.
Minneapolis. Refill. Tried to go
They
back to
didn't tell me.
Chicago. Weather was too bad. Turned back around,
Where'd they go to
landed.
honeymoon?
They kept us
Ocean
on the
Shores.
tarmac 4
Oh,
hours
nice.
and then
Me and Lena
I'm
went,
like,
not Ocean
why are
Shores,
you
but we
not
rented a
like
cabin on the Puget
saying,
Sound.
I know your crew's over limit, and they were, and they changed crews and then finally left.
Was a little terrible.
I was supposed to get in at 9:30 p.m. and I got in at 8 a.m. in the morning. Oh, that's terrible. And then I went back with all at almost as bad, maybe not time-wise, it was terrible. And then bonus, the gal next to me gave me COVID. Like trip from hell. Anne, are you ready? Okay, good. I got a lot more to say about that. Oh, so we left. I had an hour and a half layover at SeaTac coming back. We left 2 hours late because the pilot was stupid. And I still don't know what that actually is. At takeoff time, he decided we need more fuel. I've been there for hours and I'm like, what? And you have to totally run the plane down. It takes 2 hours to get here. We're 2 hours late.
Yeah, do you know where John Smith
I had an hour and a half
was
connection. He had no
second?
problem with
So
SeaTac.
give
I
him notice
got
a long time
there,
ago. I actually had
landed, they
his
made up
old
some
place.
airtime. I got there and landed with 12 minutes, made it all the way
Yeah, it'd be a
from
good place for him.
the edge of B concourse to A concourse, 10 minutes to spare. And the door locked. Oh, that's my magazine article. Yeah. Yeah. I figured you'd get a kick out of that.
You're wearing these suits.
But I knew you'd laugh.
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. It's nuts. All right, we're ready? Okay, let's go ahead and call this meeting to order. It's episode two of the August 19th, 2024 City of Othello Planning Commission. We'll start with roll from my right.
Sawyer here.
Alma Carmona here.
Chris Doro here.
Brian Gentry here.
Kevin Gilbert here.
Again, I don't think it was picking. Oh,
Just turned it back on. Ruth Sawyer here.
Okay.
There we go. Okay.
Daniela will not be attending. She is excused. And we'll see what else happens here. Public input. Is there any public input today? Go for it, Jake.
All right, good evening, everyone. I'm Jake Mendez Jr., civil rights activist and an ACLU Washington member. I just want to share my opinion in regards of the community swimming pool. I read in the CBH article that which you had published a while back. Just wanted to read a little bit here. Transparency in the committee's work in the process of fixing and replacing the pool is important to ensure Othello residents have a clear picture of what is and isn't possible. In addition, city employees might have concerns about the construction at the time the pool was built, Doro said. But those concerns apparently were ignored, nor was there any public discussion. And that's the problem, Doro said. Why didn't that get addressed then? Transparency and communication were crucial, he said. I can go on, but regardless of the structure of it, it seems like it would be more fitting, in my opinion, regardless if you're going to redo the whole entire swimming pool, is that I would like the swimming pool to be more inclusive to those with disabilities as well, physical disabilities and visual disabilities, and also a pool for toddlers and infants, for mothers that could, you know, be in a pool where it's designed, where it's slowly going down, to where they have that area where it's comfortable for those that may or may have disabilities, or for mothers that want to bring their infants or, you know, children. Also, it just decreases the anxiety. Once someone gets there, it's like, oh, shoot, I'm, you know, this is all deep ball right here. And it just eliminates that anxiety to a design where they, once they walk in, they feel welcome. They're not worried or concerned about slipping in. And that's something I just want something for you and the swimming pool committee to keep in mind in the far future, because that'll benefit decades on out if it was to be designed in that structure. Any swimming pool at any deep ends, all surrounding, it's excluding those with disabilities. And not everyone can use their legs or arms to swim. It'd be suitable for those that anyone with disabilities or visually impaired to have a, you know, caretaker or relative take them into a swimming facility where it is welcoming and including to all people in all ages. Let's not just have a swimming pool where it's only welcome to those who could just walk or run, but also include those that with disabilities as well, and infants and toddlers. So I just want you to keep that in mind. And let's not make any mistakes for those that built the swimming pool in the past. Let's not duct tape the swimming pool and just call it a day. Let's not go the cheap and easiest route and make the same mistakes that those other city council and public works did decades ago. Let's reconstruct it, let's start from scratch, and let's get more opinion from the community as well. But that's just my two cents on it. I appreciate it, and thank you for having me speak.
Thank you, Jake. We've got any questions, comments? I mean, obviously, I will take that to beyond this one, obviously, since I'm involved in other areas. So thank you. Appreciate that. Is there any other public comment? I'm not seeing Bob too excited to jump up yet. All right. We will go through the approval of the July 15th minutes. Does anyone have an edit, Ruth?
Yeah, I already pointed out to, that there was a need for page 3.
Did you already send that to Ann?
They've already got it.
And you guys adjusted that? Or do we need to go through that? Oh, yeah. Gotcha. I don't think we need to go through formally. Anyone else have any comments, questions about the minutes? Seeing none others, I would entertain a motion for the amended minutes.
I'll make a motion to accept the amended minutes.
Second.
And all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Minutes passed. We move on to home occupations. So this is a public hearing, correct?
Yes.
So I got to go through the whole process. I think I remember it pretty good.
So make sure to open it up to public comment at some point.
Huh?
Well, have you make sure you open it up to public comment?
Yep.
So we have been through this quite a few times. Our home occupation chapter is pretty dated. So we talked through some changes, came up with a draft that you looked at last time. And then I took that draft to the city council just to make sure they were on board with it. And they were very complimentary of the planning commission's efforts on this. They just, several of them said several times, what a good job you all had done.
How
so
awesome.
I wanted to make sure and pass that along. There were two questions, one about prohibiting private schools and nursery schools. The concern was that that would prohibit daycare, home daycare, but that's a different thing. The home-based
right.
daycare defined by the state, we have to allow it. It just, it's a different thing. So
right.
I didn't feel like that was a problem. And then the other one was about what kind of oversight there would be of businesses involving food. And so I explained anything involving food, need permits through the health department as well. And so they were satisfied with that.
Awesome.
And I gave you in your packet, just all the procedural stuff that has been done as far as when it's been looked at. I did the CEPA review, required an environmental review. We don't have to submit it to Department of Commerce because we are not fully planning under the Growth Management Act. So then the next steps are you will hold a public hearing tonight. Assuming all goes well, you would make a recommendation after that. That gets forwarded to the city council, and the public hearing is currently scheduled for September 9th in front of the city council.
Very cool.
So then your task for tonight are to hold a public hearing, take any public input, make any changes to the draft ordinance, and then make a recommendation to city council.
Yep. Any questions? We will have discussion after public input. Seeing none, it is 6:11. So I am going to open the public hearing at this time. Is there anyone who wants to speak in favor of this ordinance? I think I'm doing this in reverse order. I think I'm supposed to do opposed first, aren't I?
You don't actually have to separate it out.
Yeah, I know. They changed that. I'm going to go ahead and do it just because that's how I've always done it. All right. No one wants to speak in favor. Does anyone want to speak in neutral of this ordinance? Seeing none, does anyone want to oppose this ordinance? Seeing none, I think now we close it, correct? All right. The public hearing is closed. Oh, thank God the time changed at 6:12.
That would have been fun.
Questions, comments? Anyone? I'm going to fire. You know I'm going to have stuff. You know I'm going to have stuff. One of them is, let's see, 1759.012 on the requirements. I know you guys talked about it. I read it. I watched it on the video. But must be carried on entirely within the resident or accessory structures by the occupants. No person other than members of the family residing in the premises shall be engaged in this business. I mean, that makes it really easy from a standpoint of regulation and such, but it also makes it so you can't get a secretary, assistant, or anything like that if that business type needs it.
I think we kind of discussed this last month. That was kind of one of those things that I think we kind of all felt maybe we should just let it play out and see how it goes, because we could always go back in and change this, right? And that kind of how we were discussing it. We didn't feel like we needed to put it in, but we also felt like maybe we should just clarify it a little.
That's in that way.
Right. But this way, I mean, people are going to say, hey, I need an employee. And then if it becomes a problem, we go back and revisit it.
How would that be against the code, Ann? Or would that be, how would we deal with that circumstance? If, for example, let's say a lawyer or an accountant who wanted to have an assistant and work out of their home, I mean, that would be not allowed as of right now. So how would we address that? Other than tell them it's not allowed.
I mean, thinking about how we handle it right now, I don't know that we ask that question right now.
Because it's clearly stated, it's the first line of that, of the requirements.
I think like that house that I pointed out the last time has multiple couples living in it. They're not all family. Maybe they are, but you would assume that they're just lots of people in the same business. If I were to start up a business, I don't have any family here, so I would have to tap into people I know.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be like, what are you talking about? 4 or 5 people, maybe?
At most,
who might be in this circumstance. But that was just one of those circumstances that reading through it, I wanted to bring up.
I think we already limited the number of cars. Wouldn't that cover it?
It actually currently already states that at 030.
Right.
I mean, that's been an existing regulation.
So it's already in place.
It's already in the code. We're just moving it to a different place in the code.
Okay.
Need it?
Everyone comfortable with it remaining the way it is, or any suggestion on addressing that issue? Or can we just say, I don't know what to do with that.
So I guess the extremes are whoever or a family member of someone who lives there.
It's really clean and easy the way you guys have it written. It gets messy when we
start
talking about.
This was actually
employees.
Probably our biggest debate last time.
It was. We really debated this.
And it just boiled down to like, I don't know, you know. So I think we just figured we'll see what happens.
Make it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm comfortable with that. I just wanted to bring that up because there are business types that are allowed that you know, a legal aid.
I think it probably will come up, but at this point.
It's cleaner. It's cleaner this way.
I'm okay with leaving it for now. I mean, we won't know till we know, right?
We won't know till we know.
That's already the way it's written.
Right.
Making a change to the regulations, you're just changing where that provision is within the regulations. So that seems pretty safe.
It's probably not going to get too hairy, I would imagine, anyway, but I hate to put somebody in a tough spot.
I do wonder how council will look at it.
No.
Maybe they'll love it. Maybe they'll want
maybe
something.
They'll change
it. They might change it.
Right.
Well, I mean, the other side of that argument, because I was thinking about this, this is hardly the first time I thought about whether the employee situation, when it came up the first time, like 8 months ago, was on the other side of it, if you're in a situation where you need employees, maybe you do need to be in a different size space. Maybe you're going to have more traffic. I mean,
like
it's kind of self-regulating if we do it this way.
I think it protects the neighbors too from too much hustle and bustle of a business.
At what point does that become problematic? I'm good with it as is. Does anyone have any concerns with that? Okay, add one more.
What you got?
Prohibited occupations.
Same page?
Medical and last page, medical and dental clinics. I don't think the state of the economy of healthcare makes this necessary to put in, I don't think you can run a single one-hour appointment dental clinic or medical clinic. However, is there other definitions of medical that might be excluded
like
from
this? Like non-traditional?
Huh?
Like non-traditional?
Yeah, like a holistic, like a
herbalist,
medical massage. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, I was just curious of this one.
Did we have a list of allowed? We just had a list of prohibited, right?
Right. So there had been a list of permitted ones.
I thought massage was something that was allowed.
It was.
Right?
But massage was parlor was listed as an allowed
just
use.
Got rid of all of what was allowed and just said these are the things we definitely didn't want and just put a list of prohibited and not a list of allowable.
So where's the allowed at?
There is not. There's not a list of allowed.
It was at 020.
Well, that's a problem. Medical massage, does that fit medical?
I don't think so.
But is it a clinic? I mean,
holistic?
To me, it's more the clinic.
Yeah, I don't think,
because with how
I don't
it's
even
written,
think
massage
you have to list
be allowed
it in there
today.
Because I don't think you can have a one person clinic. I mean, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, 60 years ago, yep. There were a lot of them. I don't think it can exist anymore. Not in this environment. Heck, it ain't easy to run a six clinic or six stall place, let me tell you. So I don't know if having that in there it may unnecessarily impact people who should have the opportunity, like medical massage, like a holistic doc, like somebody who goes at a different thing. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I'm stuck on that one. Yeah, but I don't even think you could have. I mean, I don't think you could run a medical or dental clinic under these definitions anyway. Yeah. So with that in mind, I don't even know if it belongs in here because I think it may unnecessarily make things complicated for other business types.
So then you're saying you could take that out and it's pretty safe.
I'd take it out.
And then what, let the health department or whoever?
I'd do nothing.
But basically it would be regulated by
Department of Health.
Totally other things than
that. Oh yeah, Department of Health would decide that, okay. As long as it fits the definition. I like I said, 40 years ago, yeah, you could run a dental clinic in your house. People did. You would put up like in one room, have two chairs, and you could make a living doing that. You cannot do that now. You couldn't run a medical clinic.
But I'm trying to think, besides a medical massage, what else would that definition block from being
holistic
done at home?
Doctor.
Definitions, it's talking about groups of.
When we say clinics, right?
Mm-hmm. As long as clinics.
It's a perfect thing to list, because you couldn't do that as a home occupation. So
yeah,
it's almost kind of silly to list it.
My only thought is we've got, where is it at, you know, where we just were at, 012, which spells out what is allowed. Do you need a list that specifically lines things out that aren't allowed? Because when I look at that list, most of the things on here wouldn't be allowed. They wouldn't fit what we have in 012 anyways. I mean, cabinet carpentry and paint shops all utilize equipment that doesn't qualify according to what's allowed. So, I mean, to me, that would be the focus, would be focusing on what's allowed and using that to exclude what you don't want.
Seems like that list is way bigger, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Way bigger. Things we haven't even, AI, things you hadn't even thought of.
Yeah, like that, and that's where I go, like.
Unlimited.
Like, if we can draw the box around what's allowed, because you're right, like that list is, well, it's a list of things, but.
I think the only concern they had with cabinetry is the, I know woodworking shops have a history of.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess what I'm saying is like, must not use any equipment or process which creates noise, right? Like,
right.
It's covered, you know, they're going to be out there, you know, or even inside a shop hammering away with air nailers or what have you, and that is noisy, then it's already crosses a line that we've already called out.
I don't think it hurts to leave it in there though, because it also gives people a baseline to look and say, okay, I'm not going to read this whole thing, but I know I can't do this. I think that covers us a little bit. And I think if we want to get rid of the word medical, maybe just leave clinic, just to have some sort of something to fall back on for us. Maybe remove the word medical. That way people who are doing holistic and medical massages who are running it by themselves could still have that opportunity.
Bleaching is another one that I know people do. You know, not technically a medical service.
I think that I feel like that's maybe a little bit better of a balance if we're worried about masseuses and estheticians that are doing bleaching.
Yeah, it's the only one that I thought was, the rest of the list, like, I agree with everything Kevin said. It's kind of defined. It's nice to have a list that this isn't, you can't.
I mean, I agree with the, like, if you want to, like, a separate thing that's kind of like, for example.
Yeah.
And to me, that's what this list would be. Like, for example, here's things that are definitely.
It makes it really easy as staff when someone comes in with one of these uses to say,
yeah,
like, there you go. Mm-hmm. But the only one that, like I said, the only one I thought that didn't fit was what I just described. And it's not clearly defined. I just don't think anyone can do a medical or dental clinic. So,
well, and like you said, by definition, it's a medical or dental clinic that can have one patient that can only stay for 1 hour.
Well, we've already got
something that kind of goes to what you're saying, right? You just want to strip the word clinic off to cover like a massage or somebody.
I think take the word medical off and leave the word clinic in.
Okay.
That way, medical masseuses can still do it. And holistic doctors can still see their one patient an hour.
Yeah, take dental.
Because when I read clinic, that involves high traffic. You know, like.
Yeah.
I agree that a clinic, I mean, it's clearly not something that would fit as a home occupation. I think we could just take that whole line out.
I know it sounds like nitpicking, but it's the only one that didn't fit. And I think I can say very confidently that I know how dental clinics work, and there's absolutely no way you could do that in a home occupation anymore. And I'm pretty sure medical's in a worse case scenario than we are. So I recommend removing that line. Unless people feel otherwise.
Totally fine.
That's all I had. Did anyone have grief with me removing that line?
No.
No.
Do we have to go through the process on that,
Anne?
You're just at the end, you're just going to make a recommendation with the changes that we've.
Okay.
You know, so assuming that the changes are clear.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one change, unless anyone have any other things they wanted to bring up for it.
Just the one part that talked about, it's on page 19 of 39.
Page which one?
Nine? 19, I think she said. 19 of 39, let's see.
19? Mm-hmm. What am I missing here?
That's.
I think it's of the packet, page 19 of 39.
That's non-conforming uses.
You don't have it.
It's not be right.
Let's see.
Do we get a different packet? I do have a 19, but it's way at the back.
Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah, so we're not there yet.
Yo, we're not there yet. Nope.
Okay.
No, we're just on the home occupations. Ruthie had me very confused. I was like, uh-oh.
Did I just make recommendations from the wrong packet?
No.
I only sent you one this month instead of five, whatever it was last month.
Other things I've done over the weekend. So you're right on the money.
Okay.
Okay. Does anyone have a motion?
To accept it? I make a motion to accept home occupations with
amendments.
With amendments.
Or adjustments.
Either or.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Hearing unanimous votes is so different from me after my Friday experience. All right, next item. Non-conforming use code.
Okay, moving on to the next part of zoning we need to fix. So non-conforming use chapter is really dated. Actually way worse than the home occupation chapter.
It's way worse?
Worse.
Outdated.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's terrible.
It was really terrible.
I mean, it only gets eviscerated. If you guys haven't read it, it gets creamed. And I like how it got creamed.
So I looked at, I guess, 11 other codes to get some idea of other cities that do this. And I gave you a draft. I did have a question about
expansion and addition.
Expansion or addition of a non-conforming use. So some jurisdictions allow it, some don't. The ones that allow it, pretty much all allow it by a conditional use permit, which is a little bit iffy, in my opinion.
It was confusing.
I was wondering that.
Because a conditional use permit should be something that's allowed with conditions, where a non-conforming use is by definition
non-conforming.
Non-conforming, something that doesn't fit. So I didn't really like the idea of allowing the expansions, but I didn't want to make that call.
So just really quickly, I'm going to really quickly explain what as simply as I can about non-conforming use. What happens is something is built legally in definition of a zone, and then later that is rezoned, changed, and it is not in compliance with everything else, what's allowed in that. What that's called then is a non-conforming use. And the person who owns that is fine for a period of time or until a sale or until something, in which case then they have to conform or they have to do an addition or they got to do something like that at that point. So it was legal at one time, but it's no longer legal. So that's when it becomes a non-conforming use.
Gotcha.
Does that work for the simple explanation of that?
That's a good, I should have started there. Thank you.
it took me 6 years to understand that. That's why I wanted to explain it. So that's what I figured out. And where things get complicated on this is, what do we let people do with their basically not allowed property?
Gotcha.
After it's been said that it's not allowed anymore. So that's what we're kind of talking about with, you know, expansions, additions, nothings. And at what, you know, another aspect is that is, if you did allow that, at what level does it, no, that's a little too big, you're going to have to do something different. If you want it really simple and easy, we don't allow it. And conditional use permits are a little dicey. It's kind of like, well, it's totally against the rules, but you're good. And those are the things that we end up getting a lot of judgment for later when we do that. So it's tough. That's a tough one.
That's called the good old boy.
I didn't want to say it that way.
I don't mind when Brian says it that way.
I didn't want to say it that way, but I might have hinted it.
So where do we start with this? Because it looks like it's a lot.
It is a lot.
It's a starting point. I just really did a pretty, I think, if you really want to go through all of this,
I don't. That's why I said where's a good place to start.
What I just defined for you is what it is. I think the aspects, I mean, I think we have to figure out number one, what's the time period for Othello? Is it?
So it currently is 20 years, but that was one nobody else has a time frame, just to let you know.
Yeah.
So then how do you regulate when someone finally becomes into compliance? Gotcha.
You don't, you just make it.
You just put the guidelines like he was saying when it gets sold or when you do a remodel or?
No.
Not even, okay.
No, you pretty much just let it there, but you're not allowing them to put more money into it to like expand it. So eventually it's gonna be more valuable to them to redevelop it as a conforming use.
Okay. Probably some of the more, I think the car sales place is a non-conforming use, if I remember right.
Oh yeah, because we
down on
that
Broadway. Because I don't think we allow car sales in town. I don't think it's allowed in that commercial, because that's a commercial zone one.
Yeah, the C1.
So it's not allowed there, but it was already there. So that's a non-conforming use. So we're not telling them, no, can't sell cars anymore. Think of what, Crazy Leo's?
Yeah.
So that's an example of a non-conforming. And as long as it stays a car sales place like that, doesn't change its footprint, it's in compliance. For ours has 20 years?
The existing one, I believe it was 20 years.
I'm assuming the point with that is why? Even have anything?
It comes out of the idea that you need to give them a time frame to like recoup their investment.
But if you're not forced, I guess what I'm saying is the way you word it, we're not forcing them to close out anyways. So why even?
So currently what it says is after 20 years, they're done.
You could.
Ironically, the current person selling cars and the previous were tenants that don't own it. It was interesting.
So that's a business permit that was given?
Apparently.
It's the use of the land.
It's the use.
So when did their 20 years begin? Or has it even been announced to them? Your 20 years began.
Well, I guess their 20 years.
It could be after we pass this. Surprise!
20 years would have started when the zoning changed. But it was no longer a conforming use.
Oh. So. When did that begin?
That was 2020 when we redid the zoning.
Okay.
They technically
have till 2040 right now.
So does this apply to just commercial or does this apply to all zones?
Everything.
Homes as well.
Like if they turn something, like for example, 7th is commercial residential.
Right.
If somebody decided, nope, all commercial, you're not going to kick everyone out of their houses. You know, from that point, some of those houses may stay there. And you'll see that in commercial zones and other cities where, how did this house get here?
In the middle of nothing. Yeah.
You can go down Main Street and there's a nice strip of rental places that kind of is, I think that is non-conforming by definition. So the irrigation and so.
But do they have a permanent use of?
So our code had the kind of unique twist that if it was residential, it could stay forever.
Oh.
That's why some of it, I think, is housing authority.
I don't like this one.
You don't like this one?
I like this one.
You should the council.
Yeah. Can you pass this one along?
What don't you like about it? That's actually not a bad
thing.
In which ways?
Well, you want things to always be in a compliance, but you don't want what we change.
To kick somebody out of their house, yes, kick somebody out of their business. That's what we have non-conforming for.
Ugh, I don't like it.
So if it's built when it was legal,
then it can stay.
Then you can keep it.
Okay.
And remember, we just talked about, one of the things I thought we did need to talk about was time frame. Mm-hmm. And one of the things is allowances of additions and expansions. I think those are probably the biggest meat and potato things of the issues in non-conforming. Non-conforming, you're right, it's complicated. But I think those, am I missing anything else, Anne? I think those two are the biggies. Yep. I mean, so... if you guys want to go through every aspect of it, we can. But honestly, I think it's pretty, I think what has been deleted was great. I wouldn't, a lot of the definitions, people try to make it less squishy and try to make exceptions and try to write in this and try to write mm-hmm. in that. And if you get rid of that, it's pretty simple. It's kind of down to, you know, we allow, if it was already there when it was legal and it changed, you're allowed to stay there.
Yeah.
I think probably our situation is, can you add to it?
Well, it says as long as it doesn't exceed 75%
yeah.
of the asset value of the
that's,
structure.
That's within yeah. the that's within the new code.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's maintenance and repair. That's not
yeah, addition. That's not expansion. Okay.
Expansion. I guess another thing I should point out is if the non-conforming use is abandoned, if they're not using it, then this says that after a year, they can't go back and reuse it for what it had been before.
Okay.
So if we all want to go through every line of this, we can, or I think I would recommend settling the main two issues.
I'm good with that.
Unless there's anything else, Anne, you think needs to be in there. I read through it all, and I thought good deletions. I mean, my opinion was good deletions makes it easier, nimbler, quicker. But those were the two things that I said, oh, we're going to have to work on that.
And I should point out, where did I add that in? I did add in a section 065 on page 19. Annexation.
Let me make sure. I had some scribbles on. Oh, I didn't have anything on 19. Which one?
065. Annexation?
Yeah. Just to say that if it's
existing
annexed, it mm-hmm. can continue because we do have a large annexation proposed where this
with some property. Yeah, with some buildings on it. That's a good thing to add.
Mm-hmm.
How come I didn't mark that one?
That's the one I had marked.
That's the one you had marked? That's a good one. Marked as in you liked it or you have a problem with it?
I wanted it explained a little bit more.
Did that make sense? So you know the development, that's the annexation, mm-hmm. the big one.
Yeah.
Out there on Scone and Connors. Can I say that? Yeah, it was done publicly. I can say that.
Yeah, it was.
So there's buildings there. What do you do with those? That would be an example, if we allow it, mm-hmm. of non-conforming. If we allow it with annexation,
they
as opposed
as
to
is.
Just, because it was already there legally before.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we didn't really have that in the explanation, so it would need mm-hmm. to be added to be part of that. That was a good one to add too. I guess we'll start on that. Let's start on annexations first. Does anyone have any heartburn over what Ann just mentioned, 1779-065?
No, I think it's short, simple, to the point, not wordy.
Most of this is very straightforward. I thought God, there's a lot of this you got just creamed, which I love. Page 1779.020.
Did you go up more?
Oh, what's that?
Did you go back up or where did you go?
I went backwards.
Okay.
I went back to page 17.
Okay.
Which is continuation of non-conforming uses.
1779.065, that as long as they don't abandon it, they still can have use
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
What does that mean? I'm sorry.
Just wanted clarification on what this meant and what I thought Ann said.
On the one we just.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you comfortable with that?
Well, just if they abandon it. So that means that if they don't come and say, hey, I've got some issues that I can't run this now, but I need a variance or something, that I'm not abandoning it, but, you know, maybe the economy is such that we can't continue this way and we have to reconstruct how we're doing business and it might take a year and a half. They can still come back and do that.
See that anymore.
As long as they've made notice. Because I don't think that would be abandonment then.
Yeah, I guess you're right. It's, they're not abandoning it. They're making plans. It's just going to take them a while to achieve those plans. So, okay. Yeah.
But then they would have to then become compliant with the new zone, correct?
No.
No?
Okay. No, they just need to regroup.
Okay.
I'm not ooing about this. I'm ooing about something else.
Okay.
So it remains an abandonment at that? At what point? I guess I'm confused on that now.
So what I understood Ruth to say is that if somebody has to make some changes to their business, they can't do those within that year. They might not be operating as their business in that time frame, but they are still making strides toward getting to the point of being able to reopen their business. So that's not abandoning it.
For 1 year.
Right. So say it takes them a year and a half to do whatever they need to do. Allowed. But they haven't abandoned it. They're still actively working toward it. It just takes longer than a year to get there.
Would that fall under 1779.015, establishment of legal nonconformity? Would be on page 17. That was one of the other ones I marked as. That fits into that explanation or not?
It's going to flash.
I mean, that's saying that the owner has the burden of proof that it was legal. It's not, the city doesn't have to try to figure out was it legal or not. That we're asking the owner.
That's what I was wondering. So somebody it's on them to let everyone know what the heck's going on with it and why and where and when. And if they don't meet that requirement, that's when things can say, sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. I know it's a little, does it need more definition, do you think, on that?
I think the way that most cities regulate nonconforming uses is pretty much if it's not bothering people, they're just going to let it go. It's only when the uses get really bothersome that the city's going to really dig into, how do we make this stop?
That's making my inner OCD guy really twitch out right now.
Well, it's not a problem. Leave him alone.
So, example where I mostly have dealt with nonconforming uses is Moses Lake had a lot of old trailer parks that were in bad shape. The landlords weren't taking good care of it. And so the city really went in using the nonconforming language like was in Othello's code. They were very similar codes, actually, to do inspections and reviews every 2 years, just trying to get those parks up to a level of safety and cleanliness. And I think there were probably other ways it could have been done, but that was the way that it was done.
I
guess another one, also in Moses Lake, was there is a slaughterhouse that's in a residential zone. So,
what you described would have fallen under repair and maintenance for the parks.
They needed repair and maintenance that they weren't doing.
Right. So that would have been out. They would no longer have continuation of their non-conforming use. I mean, I'm just the example you just gave. How would I say you can't do it anymore?
They didn't meet inspection when they be condemned.
Exactly. Well, I don't know. They weren't condemned, were they?
Close.
Oh, damn. Wow.
That's spicy. I mean, hey.
I'll go back to where I was. Continuation of non-conforming uses. That's where you see here some of the stuff we are talking about. To go through this section because I think this is where we're going to get most of our meat and potatoes. And then we'll talk about time period. Any legally established non-conforming use may be continued until such time that it is discontinued as prescribed in Section B of this section. Section B is discontinuation. A non-conforming use that is discontinued shall have its legal non-conforming status terminated, and any subsequent use of the property or building shall be that of the use that conforms to the requirements of the zone. A non-conforming use is determined to be discontinued if any of the following circumstances apply. The non-conforming use is changed to a conforming use. They'll allow that, obviously. The non-conforming use has ceased for a period more than 1 year. But as Ann said, if the owner gives evidence to the above, which would be in compliant with 1779.015, that time period may be extended, correct? Okay. And the structure containing a non-conforming use has suffered a substantial destruction as a result of fire or other casualty not intentionally caused by the owner or tenant, and a complete building permit application is not filed within a year. So if somebody's building that was non-conforming burns down, they got a year. If not, that sucks.
And I'm assuming this one would also fall under if, like, they're slowly remodeling it and they've...
Repair and maintenance.
Yeah. Would that still fall under giving them that extension of past the year mark if they're continuously making progress on that repair?
It just says that you have to submit a permit within a year. It doesn't say you have to finish it within a year.
Just the permitting stuff has to be done within the year. Okay.
At least start the process to show us that you're planning to rebuild it.
Okay.
Yeah. So you can't exceed 75% of the... Is it the assessed value?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the assessed value if you're going to do some work on the place. If you go beyond 75%, you're going to be becoming compliant. you're going to be conforming. Finally, expansion addition. Currently, it says a non-conforming use may not be expanded or enlarged. Now, as we talked about, other places have some leeway in this. This just makes it really easy if we don't have something that was not consistent with the rest of the area, not being expanded to bigger.
Mm-hmm. If you allow expansions, it's never going to go away.
No.
Yep.
If the goal is to eventually have it go away, then you need to not allow them to make that big of an investment into it.
I agree.
Where do we have the 20-year time period? I know I saw it. Or was that a question if we should have that or not have it?
Oh, I would recommend not having it, but it
is it already deleted?
Yes. So okay, in 010B is where it used to say 20 years. Oh, in 10 years, 1996.
I'm okay with it being taken out.
Yeah,
10 years, 20 years, take it out.
And like I said, so of the 11 that I looked at, Benton City gives a timeframe. If the structure is less than $500, you have to remove it within 2 years. And Blaine and Spokane have time limits for non-conforming adult businesses. But those were the only time limits in any of the non-conforming codes that I looked at. So I would say that, you know, that's no longer the standard of practice to have a time limit like that.
Can't subdivide a non-conforming lot.
So non-conforming
1779-045.
Non-conforming lot would be a lot that doesn't meet the standard. So not the use, but the like the size or the dimensions of the lot are non-conforming.
Right. I just don't see anything in here that is, I mean, I think we just settled the main issues. Does anyone else see anything else with this? I really thought everything that was done on it made a lot of sense to get rid of. I thought the two things that we just discussed were about the only things that I had any heartburn over. And I didn't have that much heartburn over it.
That looks good to me.
Next step.
Next up would be schedule a public hearing so we can do that for next month.
Are you all comfortable scheduling a public hearing for this as we have discussed and amended?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go.
Guess that wasn't as squishy as we thought it was going to be. This is starting to get scary.
It has the potential. Hey. That's all I'm going to say.
All right.
Unless you're a good old boy.
Unless you're a good old boy.
Nope.
Then you can get a... I will not let the record show what you did for that one. They'll make me go back for training again. You should go too, Alma. Hey, you have to. Oh, yeah. We made it a
I got sick.
I know you do. All right. We'll get off of the DEI bandwagon. Mm-hmm. Non-conforming use code. Or no, sorry.
Wait, what?
Subdivision update, reimbursement, latecomer agreement. Wow. This I really thought was going to be a lot more complicated than it looks like. But maybe I'm totally missing something.
I asked the city attorney's office to look at our existing reimbursement agreement code. And he looked at it and he said, it's okay. But you might want to look at the city of Kent. They have a pretty good code that had just been rewritten. And I didn't like our existing code. I felt like it was confusing.
Yeah, ours sucked. The Kent one's great. Sorry.
So there's not necessarily a problem with ours. It could just be better.
Oh, it's. The two codes, there's a big difference. I'm sorry, the Kent code is like, that looks really easy.
Yeah, I thought so. So then I took the Kent code and just put it into our format and, you know, made a few changes for us. And
so this would have to go to public hearing to do this, correct?
This would be part of the subdivision update.
Oh, so this would be part of the, so this would, this is how we would do latecomers.
So I would propose deleting our existing one and replacing it with this other one.
So the one that we have here is the
first
draft,
one's the new
right?
One. Yeah. The first one's the new one.
First, yeah.
The second one's our old one. It'll hurt you if you read it.
I don't want to.
The process was really confusing trying to understand the old one.
That's what I meant by it would hurt you.
I'm going to pull Daniela because she's not here and I feel like someone has to say it.
Uh-oh.
I feel like this still, the purpose is a little wordy.
This is the new one? Mm-hmm. Which one? Oh, the purpose.
Just the purpose.
Okay. What didn't you like about the purpose?
I feel like people will grasp it a little better if we can find a way to shorten it somehow. I don't know. I just feel like it's overwhelming looking at all of that.
If you want to hook up to other people's stuff, you got to pay.
There you go. See, let's put that as a purpose.
Or existing stuff you got to pay. What do you want to change on it? I'm not finding a way to make it less.
It's
wordy.
Pretty thorough, and I think you have to be thorough. You have to include all the different parts.
I mean,
it's a good purpose. It's just long.
So I can try to.
I just don't want to lose anything that you do have. It's maybe. Good. It's just.
Maybe the
prayer. It was just my two cents. Not necessarily that we had to change it. I just felt like it was a little long to get through it.
Mm-hmm.
Could we and then sit back and say, wait, did I understand that?
Could we put in a picture?
That would be great. Or a QR code we could scan with an animation.
Or some words and a picture.
Maybe before purpose, we put theme. And we just have like a phrase.
Yeah, that would be great.
Get your money back.
Yeah. Give me my money.
We're back to mine. I like I said, I read through it and I went, and then I read through the other one and I went, oh no. So I don't see any weak spots in it.
Yep.
Did you have one, Ruth?
This was the stuff I was trying to do it at work, and so up.
Which one?
This end part.
I honestly didn't think we were going to get this far, so when I got here, I did not. I'm not going to lie, I didn't even read all of it.
The second one, if you didn't read the second one, you're.
I only
so
skimmed
lucky.
The first one because I thought there's no way we're going to get this far in the packet.
Thought we weren't even going to make it till 7, and it's longer than I thought we were going to go.
That's a lie.
I'm not kidding you.
So, I mean, we can look at it again month, or we can just say, looks pretty good, and look at it again when we get to that point of the subdivision code.
I like it. I mean, I don't like the old. How about this? Let's dump the old one. If just outright, so I never have to look at it again, because it just... If you want to feel better, read the old one, then the new one. You'll feel so good. You won't even need a picture.
Are we sure?
I promise you.
Question on page 31. Is that the new one or is that the old one?
That would be the new one.
Okay. So developer fails to comply with the notification requirements within the 60 days, they just kind of forfeit any return of monies at that point.
Where
and the city gets to keep it?
Where are you?
The reimbursement funds. It's in 16.53.060, the second paragraph. That we weren't going to notify anybody, but what if there's extenuating circumstances and we don't just do a letter?
Every has to tell us how we can find him.
Right.
And if he doesn't do that, then we don't
reimburse him. And I'm just saying we won't even send a cursory letter just saying, okay, your time's about up and you haven't.
Well, if we can't find him, how do we do it? So what it's saying is that he has to make sure we have up-to-date information. The city has up-to-date information every 2 years.
It's every 2 years. And what if nothing's changed?
Well, then I think it would just stay the same, wouldn't it?
Well, it's saying if they haven't notified us, then we don't have to send them their money, even if they are still in the same place.
Okay.
So I guess that could be a little
their money.
Less.
I mean, Somebody owes me money, I'm not going to forget it.
If the developer moves and they don't tell us their new address.
Just going through staff changes and the secretary misfiles something and the developer is not.
I can see that.
Can't we just send a letter? Because maybe it's a new secretary there and the old secretary was not a good secretary or something. Doesn't have to be a registered letter, but just a notification of your time's almost up.
A warning letter.
I think it's more that we should make it just say if the developer changes address and they don't notify us, then we don't have to search them out.
So obligation's still on them.
Yeah.
I like that.
But as long as they stay in the same place.
That's actually, that's good.
I mean,
good. Yeah, that'll protect the developer too.
You got to dig deep to find something wrong with this one. You can tell whoever did this one. I was like, oof, they put some time in on that. And then I looked at ours and I'm like, oof, I'm not doing any more time in on that one.
And then on 33, page 33.
Oh, you're still in the new one.
Sorry. 16.53.140.
Did you say 140?
Yeah,
140.
Obligations.
So I don't know what the law is here, but I'm just wondering. I know that the state has a unclaimed monies where you can go and when we just report if somebody passed away, instead of trying to find their beneficiaries, just report it to the state so that then it's on them to find it.
Which section of that are you concerned with?
B. Okay.
My guess is that when it goes to the state, unclaimed funds and not claimed, the state eventually drops it into its,
into its funds. But it's there for a while.
Yeah, it's there for a couple.
It's
years.
There for a while. I guess where I'm going is the way this is designed, it stays in the city's funds.
Mm-hmm.
It's a question of who gets the money if nobody comes and gets it.
Yeah, but most people don't know.
To even look anywhere.
Only because I've been through this. It stands out to me.
They hand them over.
Well, I don't know if it's still searchable though, because when my father-in-law passed away when my husband was really young, and if you put my husband or his siblings in that website you were talking about, it pulls up properties that were sold and unclaimed and things like that. And he passed away over 25 years ago, and that information is still accessible.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I don't think the city ever turned those properties over to the state. I'm assuming, I think it's still traceable even if the city still had the property, possession of the property.
Well,
or the money.
My point being is, why make it more difficult?
Where would be the difficultness, I guess, in this
trying
one?
To find how to get through to the city. I wouldn't know to go to the city. Figure it all goes to the state.
That's what I'm saying. I think it's still...
Because bank accounts go to the state.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If it's cash, it goes to the state. It goes to their account. It's not like a property.
But you could even search properties on that website.
I just know cash goes, like for example, if we got employees that don't cash paychecks, like eventually it just goes to the state.
I got nothing, Ann.
I don't see the council saying that the city's collected this money and then we're going to send it to the state if we can't find the developer. I guess that
is it written.
I really don't see that happening ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
I still couldn't hear you. Is it written in the contracts?
Is what written in the contract?
Well, that if you happen to die, your family needs to come to us for any monies that.
I mean, it would only likely be a developer that would be filing a reimbursement, because it maybe should have started with this. Reimbursement is if you install, say, a utility line past other people's properties, and then if they connect to it, they have to pay.
Connect to it.
City collects it, gives it to the developer who put in the line. So it doesn't seem likely that it would be an individual. I think it would be a like an LLC or something. And
right.
So there would be
that's how
something
it,
that
that's pays how
beyond
yep.
the passing of an individual person.
That was a good explanation on that. Yeah, it's definitely going to be an LLC or some other entity that would go to, and which would be continued. I mean, unless, you know, you're putting money underneath your mattress or something like that, maybe, but.
Well, then why does it have
it's
to say?
It's not far-fetched.
Huh?
Fishier or a survivor.
Money under the mattress.
It would still be managed and maintained by the LLC. Hmm. I mean, they're still going to get all of that information,
that reimbursement.
Notification,
mm-hmm.
as long as it's in existence, which will go through.
So then to me, it doesn't seem like, why should you have that in there? If you think it's already covered.
To protect the city from getting into a tough situation on this.
Because they said beneficiary
you don't want somebody
or
to come...
survivor. They didn't say LLC only.
I mean, the city's just saying...
I know.
Yeah, on the other
but
side,
I just,
right?
That's
like,
what I was just wondering. Right?
Yeah.
They're
yeah.
still entitled. They haven't lost their rights. They're just, yeah. I can't imagine.
To me, it just sounds.
We're not the ones liable for it.
Right.
Is what that's saying. I think is how I take it.
I don't know what that looks like from a liability standpoint. If somebody comes 15 years later for unrecovered funds and said, you never looked for me, so now we have damages.
Right. That's what you don't want to be on the hook for.
That's
what you don't want to be on the hook for.
Yeah.
Is there a time frame?
Yes. So I have to look because I always forget. It's different for street improvements versus utility improvements.
I
think so. And I can never remember which is which.
Utilities were longer.
Brian's over here running calculations, see if he's going to get a freebie hookup.
Page 31.
Yep.
You have to tell him to give you your money, just like that.
My time has come.
Statute of limitations.
Oh, wait. It's
oh,
a good old
project.
Six more.
the latecomer fees could go on forever, but now the city is also bound by these time frames.
Right.
Yeah.
Good point.
Because it used to be, you know, cities were collecting, it would be like, you know, $10 a front foot or something, because it was 50 years ago. And it was just kind of ridiculous to even bother to collect it, because it was such a small amount of money.
Right. That's all I got.
Okay. I'll work on the things.
Right. Is that
it? Wow. Really difficult, people. Okay, well, old business.
Fine by me.
You want to go to old business?
We're just going to skim it and then call the meeting adjourned, right?
don't even skip.
Just everyone glance at it really quickly and then we'll introduce.
Unless there is, I again, hopefully everyone takes the opportunity to go through reports. They're really good. Does anybody want to, I mean, we got a bunch of balloons in the air right now. It probably does not make sense to go and hold any of the old business.
Although, I guess, do you want me to keep the, is it the Columbia Street Local Improvement District? Do you want me to keep carrying that forward? I don't know that anything.
It's not going to go anywhere, is it?
It's going anywhere right now.
I just take that off.
I mean, yeah, mm-hmm. Probably. You tried. Well, with that in mind, I can't imagine we want to go through the housing action plan at the moment to find the next. Well, I guess we're left with nothing other than to entertain a motion to adjourn 45 minutes early.
I make a motion to adjourn tonight's meeting.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. But those minutes are not banked.
Yeah, you don't get those. They don't roll over.
They don't roll over? I have 2 years to use those. Yeah. I will notify you before I'm using them.
I'm using these 45 minutes. I'm cashing in. Give me my money.
All right. Thanks, everybody. It's kind of played out.